So we bound prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for the privilege of this hour to look forward to that day when you shall come and take home your own. And then also what the Bible teaches about what's going to happen to those that remain here, for whom you'll come later. Make it clear to us today, Lord, as we open thy book. Speak to us with thy authority in Jesus' name. Amen. We have just one little thing left in the doctrinal aspect of Matthew 24 and 25. Hope you have your Bibles open. And then he brings about five different types of parables or illustrations, which are very needful and helpful to prepare for that day. All of this in answer to the question that he was being asked. In the beginning, the disciples asked this question. Tell us, when shall all these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age? We want to read one more verse. In verse 27 through 31 of the 24th chapter, he talks about the Lord Jesus Christ coming. Very important that we note the context, for interpretation must be based on context. And the context here is altogether Israel. He's talking about the great tribulation. And so when he talks here about his coming, he's talking about his coming to the earth at the end of the tribulation period. When he talks about gathering his elect, he's talking about those who are his own at the end of the tribulation period. Now there are those who are born again and belong to what we call the invisible church, the body of Jesus Christ, those of us living in this dispensation who are being born again, whom he will come to gather home in the clouds. We'll see this difference as set forth in the scriptures. But let's read verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven unto the other. Now the gathering of the elect is what he's talking about here. The elect of the church were taken up in the rapture according to prophecy before this particular thing will take place. They will be snatched away silently, we read in the scriptures, and will meet the Lord in the air. In 1 Thessalonians 4, we have been reading about them, but I think it's well right here to again repeat these words. Note, please, especially how he will come close into the air, and there he will meet those who are his at the time of the rapture, which will be before the tribulation. Verse 16 and 17 of 1 Thessalonians 4 again. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. This is not his coming onto the earth. This is his coming into the cloud, and we shall meet him in the air. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. But now in Matthew 24, verse 31, he's talking about the elect of Israel, which are on the earth after the tribulation, and he will be gathering them from the four quarters of the earth unto the Lamb that belongs unto them. We can take many various scripture verses. Take, for instance, Isaiah 11, verses 11 and 12. He says this, And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again a second time to recover the remnant of his people which shall be left. Did you get that? He shall come a second time. That is, he's going to come all the way to this earth. He shall gather his people that are left. His people now. Now he's talking about Israel. He shall gather them from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathos, from Cush, from Elam, from Hamath, from all these different places, from the very islands or the coasts of the sea. Then he says, And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. And it's also well that we turn to Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 7 and 8. For thus saith the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, that is Israel, and shout among the chiefs of the nations, publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. And then he says, behold, I will bring them from the north country. We find that the great many of the people of Israel are today in the north country, the land of Russia. He will gather them from there, and he will gather them from the coasts, all the coasts of the earth. And with them, the blind and the lame and the women with child and her that travaileth with child together, a great company shall return thither to the land. I am a father to Israel. To Ephraim is my firstborn. These are the words that he says. So he says, and he shall send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they shall be gathered, that is, his elect shall be gathered, his chosen ones, from the four winds or the four corners of the earth, even from one end of the universe unto the other. So this is a great gathering of the people of Israel at the end of the tribulation period. Verse 31 then assures the final regathering of the remnant of Israel. There are those that say that he will not regather them again. God is through with them. But here are the verses. Here you have it. You can't get around it. God said so, and that settles as far as I'm concerned. That is, that portion of Israel which will be left after the end of the tribulation, he will gather then in that day. So then this whole portion of Matthew 24, beginning with verse 15 to 31, which had to do with the second coming of Christ, is the specific answer to the question, what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the age? The climatic sign being his second coming and the glory that attends it. We saw the glory that has to do with his second coming. When he comes into the clouds, that will be secretly. Nobody will see him except those that are his that are taken up at that time. But here we find that it's going to be those that are on the earth. This then is a fulfillment of Acts 1 verse 11, when the disciples stood there on Mount Olivet just after Jesus had gone to heaven. Then they came two angels, you remember, or two men, and stood by them, and they said, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. So his return will be physical. It will be gradual, first for the church, and then for the people of Israel and those that are living at that time. It will be visible. It will be with the cloud of glory we read here. And this then ends the total doctrinal aspect of the Olivet Discourse. So now what follows in chapter 24 and 25 will be series of applications and illustrations, things that are essential and necessary for us today. And so we're going to open up and introduce that to, we call it section 2, that is a general introduction first of all, and then some applications and some illustrations and especially interpretations of five different things that will come to pass, or that he uses here as parables or illustrations. First, there's going to be the parable of the fig tree. This is in chapter 24 of Matthew, beginning with verse 32 through 35. I'll go into that just a little bit later. But this will guarantee the second coming of Christ. This will make sure they can know as sure as there is a fig tree, he says, and that it buds, there will be a second coming of Jesus Christ in their behalf. Then the second one has to do with approximate time when it will be. So it uses the illustration of the flood. And he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And the theme there is, the main application there is, or the main words there are, watch therefore.
Watch therefore, be ye ready, for such an hour as ye think not, he shall come. Then thirdly, in this 24th chapter, he talks about service in preparation for his coming, and he gives us a parable of a servant, and this is in the latter part of the 24th chapter. Then the 25th chapter opens with the illustration of watchfulness, and again preparation for his second coming. This is the parable of the 10 virgins. The first 13 verses of Matthew 25 have to do with that. And then he comes with one more major illustration, which emphasizes service rather than watching. In other words, be serving him until that time. And he illustrates it with the illustration or the parable of the many talents. And we will be discussing these one at a time. First of all, let's look at this. There has to be an interpretation of a scripture. Never try to draw illustrations without the interpretation. That can be dangerous. Each scripture will have its interpretation. Many of them will have some application or illustration for something else in our life. And some of them will be prophetic. But the interpretation is always there and is very, very important. This can then be followed by the practical application of these this interpretation, and it can be applied maybe to the church age in which we are living right now. There are some real wonderful applications here for the rapture of the church, but not interpretation. I hope you get the difference. The correct Bible study demands that the context must be included in the interpretation. You cannot take a little passage out of its context and then try to bring about a lesson or an interpretation. It can't be done. The context has to show. Well, the whole context of chapters Matthew 24 and 25 speak of the second coming of Jesus Christ and related activities to the second coming. So what does the context then indicate? That is the thing we have to settle, my friends. So while this passage may have some general application to the believing church of this present age, as relates to the overall view of the ending of the age, yet the particular application must be relate to the second coming of Christ at the end of the tribulation, because that has to do with the interpretation. We begin with the first one, introducing the parable of the fig tree. We'll have time just to introduce it. Let me read it to you. The beginning with verse 32 of chapter 24 in Matthew. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when ye shall see all these things, know that he is near, even at the door. Now some of our Bibles have translated that it, but it's a personal pronoun, he. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass until all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now he's giving us here a threefold guarantee that the teaching of the second coming of Jesus Christ is true, as we have stated it before. The first one is the illustration, then, of the fig tree. And then it also gives us, secondly, the generation that shall see the coming of the Lord after the tribulation is also mentioned here. The generation is guaranteed which one it is. Furthermore, there's the guarantee of the indestructible Word of God, which will not pass away until all these things be fulfilled. So first, then, Israel is pictured here. And in the Bible, Israel is pictured in three different ways. As a fig tree, in John 15, as the vine, and again as the olive tree, as we see in Romans, the 11th chapter. But here it is the fig tree. Now the fig tree speaks of the national life of Israel, a nation. And a nation is budding, my friends. on May the 14th, 1948, the nation was declared. There's been the budding of that fig tree. Then he speaks of the vine and the branches concerning Israel in John 15, but this speaks of their spiritual life. And this is defective, he says, and dead now as a nation. They will be coming to life again, he says, in the days to come when he shall return. And finally, in Romans 11th chapter, he speaks of Israel as the olive tree, and this speaks of the covenant relationship with God. So we have the fig tree speaking of their national life, then we have the vine and the branches speaking of their spiritual life, and the olive tree speaking of the covenant relation that they have with God. Well, that's all the time we'll have for now. We'll go back to the parable of the fig tree and the interpretation in view of the context on tomorrow's broadcast. Talking to you about the coming of the Lord, the second coming of the Lord, and he can come, first of all, for the church. Are you ready? If you are not, friends, we would like to help you. We would like to ask you to write to us. I'll give you the address in just a moment, but tell us what your spiritual needs are. If you know him as Savior, do you know him as Lord, and do you work for him? Are you ready to meet him in the way you would like to? Let us hear from you at the Back to the Bible broadcast, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68501. Theodore Epier, friend, saying goodbye. Here's a word that Cameron Morgan spoke. I never begin my work without thinking that perhaps he may interrupt that work and begin his own, for his word to all believers are, occupy till I come.
The annual After Christmas clearance sale is now in progress at the Christian Light bookstores in downtown Chambersburg and the Waynesboro Mall. Hallmark and Scripture Text boxes of Christmas cards are going for just one-half price. Hallmark party supplies are just one-half price. Framed scenic pictures are 25% off, and there's a great selection of religious records regularly priced at $5.98, going for just $2.98. Other specials throughout the store, that's the Christian Light bookstores at the Waynesboro Mall and in downtown Chambersburg.
This is WKSL, Green Castle, Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, 94.3 FM. Merry Christmas, everyone!
From us to you, Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year. From your good companion station, WKSL.
It's time now for the Noon News Roundup. This portion of the Noon News Roundup is being presented by Myers Implements, 400 North Antrim Way in Greencastle. Myers Implements, your Massey Ferguson farm equipment dealer, trusted by area farmers for the best in name brand farm equipment and dependable service. Several major banks today raised their prime lending rates from 11.5 to 11.75. This matches the increase announced last week by Chemical of New York. Tehran's business district was paralyzed for hours today as gangs of anti-Shah protesters set fires and smashed windows. The new clashes between the demonstrators and police are being described as the worst in Iran's capital in 3 months. Turkey is calm today after the government there imposed martial law on Ankara and 12 other cities in the wake of religious political violence. 3 days of fighting between rival Muslim sects reportedly left at least 93 dead and more than 1,000 wounded. The Israeli cabinet met today to discuss possible resumption of the stalled peace talks with Egypt. Foreign Minister Dayan reported to the cabinet on a meeting he held with the Egyptian foreign minister and Secretary of State Vance in Brussels last weekend. The captain of a freighter packed with Vietnamese refugees told Hong Kong officials today he will be murdered if he puts the ship out to sea again, and one refugee is talking of a mass suicide.
Shall we pray together? Our God, again as we've opened the book, we pray that you'll open our hearts to receive thy truth, thy word again. Somehow, Lord, shake us loose of our lethargy, that we may recognize that time is at hand, time is short, the time is now. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, blessed Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you looking for the coming of the Lord? Remember, his coming is in several stages. I keep emphasizing that so that we do not become confused with what he's teaching us here in Matthew 24 and 25. Where our lesson is. First of all, he's coming as far as the clouds to meet his own in the air. This is clearly set forth in several passages of Scripture. Then will be tribulation upon the earth. Then he will come with clouds, with his saints, with his born-again ones, with the church, with the armies of heaven, and he'll set his foot upon this earth. Yes, he'll set it upon Mount Olivet. That's what we were told in the Scriptures very clearly. And that is what we mean by the second coming of Christ, when we're talking here in Matthew 24 and 25 about his second coming. Now we have discussed that. We've discussed the great tribulation. Then he gives us 5 illustrations or parables to help us to understand the importance of it. First, the parable of the fig tree, which guarantees the second coming. Then an illustration of approximate time, and he uses the flood by way of illustration. Then the parable of the servants, because he wants to discuss service before he comes. Then an illustration of watchfulness, the parable of the 10 virgins, careful watchfulness. And finally an illustration that emphasizes serving again, rather than watching. And here he talks about the talents. And he closes the whole passage with telling what's going to happen at the time he comes and the judgment of the Gentile nations as such. Now then, we must, as we said yesterday, be sure that we interpret these passages correctly according to their content or their context, we must say. Now there are some applications that can be made. We'll make them at the close. But first of all, the correct interpretation thereof. For correct Bible study demands that the context be included in the interpretation. Otherwise, we can just get anything out of the Bible. So the context of this whole thing has to do with the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the related activities that have to do with it. And so it's very important that we recognize this factor. Now, the first one is the parable of the fig tree that he uses here. And here we have a guarantee, a threefold guarantee, in fact, a guarantee of his coming, a guarantee of which generation shall witness his coming, and a guarantee that the word of God
will not be destroyed, never. Other things will be. We see Israel pictured in many different ways in the Scripture, three outstanding ones. Here it is the fig tree. In John 15 it is the vine. In the Romans 11th chapter it is the olive tree. But we are concerned now about the fig tree. And let me read the portion again. In Matthew 24, verse 32 to 35. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that he is near even at the door. For verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass until all things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Back in 1967, it was our privilege to be in the Holy Land. And one day, going just traveling along the road or walking along the road, we saw some fig trees. And sure enough, they were budding. I even had to take a picture of them. Because we were there in the late spring, just before summer was coming. Just exactly what he says here. So first of all, then, the interpretation in view is very important, and this in view with the context. Since this whole discourse that we're discussing here, Matthew 24 and 5, is first of all directed primarily to Israel, and it has to do primarily with the 7 years tribulation period, and has to do with the second coming of Christ at the end of this tribulation period. Now, we have already mentioned to you that this coming is in two stages, coming into the clouds to meet his church, his bride. This at the beginning of the tribulation or before the tribulation. At the end, he's coming to earth with his bride. More of this in Revelation. Now, we look at its first and primary interpretation then, as it affects Israel, for he's speaking primarily to Israel here. Now the fig tree was well known to Israel. The fig tree brings forth leaves in the late spring, shortly before summer comes. As I said, that's when we were there, and we were just seeing the leaves coming forth. Therefore it is evident to them that summer must be around the corner. We have similar signs, but not necessarily the fig tree right where we live. So in similar way, those living in the Great Tribulation, they see certain signs which are predicted there, and then they will know that the second coming of Christ to the earth with his saints is near at hand. Now you just remember some of these signs that we've already seen. In Matthew 24, we saw these signs beginning with verse 9, he says, they shall deliver you up. You shall be hated of nations, speaking primarily here of Israel. They shall betray you, and false prophets shall arise. And he goes on and on and on. And finally, the outstanding of all signs occurs right in the middle of the 7 years, known as the abomination of desolation. We spoke of that in detail and at length, and so I'm not going to further a discussion of that. Daniel brings that up and at least three times mentions it, and it's mentioned in a few other places in a little different language. So then, that is the outstanding sign. Then there will be great, great tribulation. Now, immediately after this 7 years of tribulation, there shall come some more signs, and these signs will be the darkening of the sun, the moon will be darkened, the stars will be falling from heaven, great powers will be shaken, then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heavens, and the tribes of the earth shall mourn because they shall see him coming with clouds from the heavens, with power and with great glory. Then he shall be gathering the people of Israel. This is the last great gathering of the people of Israel from the four corners of the earth. Now there is a general gathering now, but this is not the one he's talking about here in Matthew 24. We have seen a general gathering of the people of Israel for several decades already. And in 48, a nation was founded. We have seen all of that already. So these are the beginning of the signs then. While we look at its
First and primary interpretation, then, as it affects Israel. So the fig tree, as I said, was well known to them, and we have already seen some of these signs and reviewed them for you. Now the signs here in the context are the signs then of the tribulation, not the signs of the revival of the national Israel. Now we have some secondary applications to that effect. I want you to note the difference, though. They are merely applications, but the real sign and interpretation has to do with the Israelites who are living during the time of the tribulation. So this first guarantee of Christ's second coming are these tribulation signs, as we see. When they see these tribulation signs, they can know now the Lord Jesus Christ is coming very, very soon. It can't be long. It will be very soon. Then comes a second guarantee. Note verse 34 once again. I say unto you, this generation shall not pass until all these things be fulfilled. What generation is that that he's talking about? Well, first of all, we ask ourselves the question, generation is he talking about here? Then the prediction was, if he was talking about the people of Israel as a whole, well, then it's really no prediction. Is it the one that he was talking to, this generation that he was talking to at that particular time? Well, I say again, if it was that generation, then the prediction wasn't true, because that was 1900 years ago and they died 1900 years ago. Well, then there's a second thought. Since generation also means this people, and sometimes we feel the interpretation is given that way, that it means Israel. And so could it be Israel that he's talking about, that the people of Israel will not pass away until this will be fulfilled? Well, if that's the meaning, then it's not a real sign. Not a sign at all. It's just a statement of fact, but not a sign. Except that it guarantees that Israel, of course, will be living at the time when this occurs. But the context would definitely dictate that the generation that shall witness these signs of the tribulation would not pass until Jesus would come again as their Messiah. So then, when these Israelites especially will see the signs of the tribulation, that generation that sees those signs will not pass away until Jesus will come again and all these things will be fulfilled. So it's that generation. All these will be fulfilled during the one generation life. This is the second guarantee. But then there's a third one, and I want you to note that. And heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The more sure word. What value do we put upon his word today? What we count as absolute and dependable. We're thinking of a lot of things that we count upon. Well, tomorrow's sunrise, for instance, or the sunset, or the stars coming up in the heavens, or the clouds, they sure will come sometime. Rain will come, we depend upon that. The wind, the heat, and the cold. Oh, Earth's rotation, the sun's rotation, the moon's rotation. What goes up will come down, we depend upon that. Gravity and so on. On the ocean, the mountains, and life and death and all these things. But do you know that the Bible says that all these things will end? They will all come to a close. Well, if they will all come to a close, then that's not what he's talking about. Those are not the sure things. Listen to Hebrews 12, verse 26 and 7. Whose voice then shook the earth, speaking of the time previous to this. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. This is speaking of the atmospheric heaven about us. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are to be shaken, as the things that are made, but those things which cannot be shaken may remain. And so there are things that cannot be shaken that will remain. In the 2 Peter, in the 3rd chapter, we have another statement, beginning with verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works thereof shall be burned up. God says those things will be shaken. Those are the things that are not permanent, but there are permanent things. Number one, His word is permanent. Hath He spoken? Shall He not do it? That is what the word says. God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent or change His mind. Hath He said it? Shall it not be done? Or hath He spoken? And shall He not make it good? That's God for you, my friend. My word shall not pass away. It shall all be fulfilled, He says over and over and over again. His word is established forever in the heavens. All other things shall pass, but His word never. We can depend on these many things, but they will pass away, but never His word. But His word He calls, by His word He called all things into being. By His word He will bring the final judgment. By His word He will come again, and we believe it. Now tomorrow I'm going to give you a special or a general application of this passage and go into the next one, which has to do with the flood as an illustration of His soon coming.